Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On a morning show from WRCO and WRCE, Superintendent of Richland Schools, Steve Board, is our guest today on a rainy day on a Wednesday. Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Good morning. It's great to be here. It is raining, definitely. We're going to get some heavy storms here today, it sounds like. But otherwise, all is good in the land of Richland School District.
Well, that sounds excellent. You've got a few days left in the school year, an important one coming up tomorrow night with your awards.
Yeah, the awards ceremony kind of kicks off the first real public event that we have in terms of the end of the school year and seniors. And so we have our monetary awards night where, you know, several thousand dollars of scholarships are given out to tens of thousands, I should say, from generous donors around the area to our graduating seniors that meet certain criteria. And it's always a great evening and a very visible way to show our students who will be entering, post-secondary education, how generous our community and our surrounding folks are. So it's really going to be exciting to see and watch. And that's in our high school auditorium. It starts tomorrow night at 6:30.
And it's just amazing how many are awarded. A lot of the senior population will be given those awards too, won't they?
Yeah, they do a great job of really trying to spread the scholarships out. Of course, there are some, again, that have to meet certain criteria. But I believe that anyone who applies for a scholarship is actually awarded something. And so, again, we just can't encourage people to apply for these. There's a lot of generous folks out there. It'll be an awesome night to celebrate, or at least the start of celebrating our seniors and as they head off, leaving Richland Center High School and heading off into the real world.
It seems, just from an outsider standpoint, that it's been a good school year in the Richland District. Would you agree?
Yeah, it really has, Phil. It's been fast. It's gone crazy fast in reality. There's been some long days mixed in there, no doubt about that, but it really has gone well. And I think about, a year ago, last July, as we're kind of preparing for the start of the 23-24 school year, we had the partner school, get kickstarted this year. That alternative school down at East Hall, that's been a welcome addition to our school. We started off small. We just had a dozen or 13 students enroll for this school year, but we've expanded that. We actually just had our lottery according to DPI rules for enrollment next year. We're looking to double enrollment, so we'll be around 24 to 28 students there. Those people will be finding out in the next couple of days from Mrs. Sifkis and or Dr. Johnson. So that's exciting. That's been a huge success. I just continue to hear nothing but great things that are going on down there and the community connections that those students have made. And again, the goal is to try to get them to be able to do school in a way or an interest that is really personal to them, right? If they're interested in farming or computer coding or daycare or the medical field or whatever it is, they can do school and get experiences relating to those fields to see if it's really something they want to do. So that's been a huge success. The addition and the partnership with the City of Richland Center and implementing a community resource officer into our school district has been gone incredibly well, just beyond everyone's expectations of how smoothly that has gone and how beneficial that has been. We anticipated it being something where Officer Wilson could assist in some bigger things, but the impact that he has had on students on a daily level, positive interactions that he's had with students daily in all of our buildings, as well as assisting and being able to expedite investigations, and things can happen so much quicker, whether it be something as simple as, cars, lights left on in the parking lot, to be able to find out quickly who it belongs to so they don't drain their batteries, or something, you know, bigger from a potential vandalism or break-in or just suspicious people walking around our school district. It's just been so great to have somebody with his experience, and the partnership that we've had with the City of Richland Center is just beyond expectations. So you take a look at those new initiatives, and then, you know, you fast forward that through the school year and all the successes that our extracurricular folks have had, from sports to arts and clubs and things like that, to the academic successes, to the individual celebrations that students have had. Fast forwarding all the way to April, when we were able to pass two referendums, and albeit they were very close, they were still passed by our community stakeholders, and we're looking now forward to the next stage of getting some things fixed in our district that need to be fixed, and really attacking it and doing it the right way, showing our community that we're fiscally responsible with the money that they've allowed the school district to have over the next few years.
There's a lot of work ahead, I know, now in terms of where do you go from here after the referendum passed. I know that recently at one of your meetings you talked about the bonds and how that's going to work and work into it, but I'm guessing the real busy work starts now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does, you know, and really when you look at it, Phil, you know, this plan, if you will, started 4 or 5 years ago, right, in terms of we passed a smaller referendum in 2020. The capital improvement referendum didn't pass in 2020, but the operational did, and that allowed us to increase our revenue limit for really just to keep up with expenses and those kinds of things right before COVID. But what that really did was it allowed us to implement a strategy that we've talked about on the show before called defeasance, okay, where we can stabilize the mill rate. We were able to keep it at $9.12 ever since the 2020 election. Over the last 4 years. And using that defeasance strategy, we've been able to prepay some of our existing debt from the 2016 or prior referendum. And as a result, we've been able to, in fact, Mr. Bosworth, our business official, just gave a presentation at the board meeting here a couple meetings ago. Over the last couple of years, using the strategy, we've been able to knock off approximately 5 years off of our 2016 debt, and we've been able to save the district and ultimately the taxpayers over $1.3 million in interest, okay? And so that is a significant savings, and we've been able to do that while we're maintaining the mill rate at $9.12. Fast forward to April of 2024, it was that gap that we had built in using defeasance that allowed us to essentially pass this year's non-recurring operational referendum for $2.3 million without any tax impact to the general public. And so that was a great benefit. The taxes wouldn't go up. And then we coupled that with the $27 million capital improvements, where we really tried to get things fixed. And so to bring this full circle and to your point about things are really going to get busy now, absolutely. They are definitely going to get busy. At a recent school board meeting, our school board did select Nexus Solutions to continue working with the district and do the management of the construction project. They came in with a bid of 1.98% of the project will be for managing the construction project. That actually wasn't the lowest bid, but our board really felt that, one, Nexus did a really good job on the front end of the referendum and helping to communicate the story that the district had to tell to its stakeholders, and really having access to their marketing and communications department is going to be beneficial on the back end of this, because what I don't want to do as a district administrator is just say, okay, we've taken your money, now we're going to do a bunch of things and we're not going to tell the community what's going on. I want to make sure that everything that this district does with this $27 million project, that we are transparent with it, and that we're able to tell the story along the way, that we're able to show the community how the money is being spent, where we are at with different phases of the project. And to do that, we need a good marketing and communications team. We believe Nexus will provide that for us, just like they did on the front end of the referendum. In addition, one of the things that Nexus really provides that no other company is really truly able to provide is that they're able to competitively bid every single phase of the project, everything from, you know, the IT needs to the safety needs to, you know, concrete and steel needs. Okay. And they're working on behalf of the district. And so by competitively bidding every single component of that project, we can assure our stakeholders that we are getting the best bid possible. We are certainly encouraging all of our local people to submit bids as those timelines and specifications come out over the next probably, you know, 3 to 6 months. And then we're able to be very transparent. Here are all the bids that we've got. We chose this company for this reason, or we went with this company for this reason. And statistically, Nexus has been able to drive out 15 to 20% of the costs just by making sure that people have to competitively bid and really sharpen their pencils as they're doing a job for the Richland School District. And then we have a go-to, right? We have a go-to person with Nexus to be able to keep track of where they're at with the project. They can handle all of the subcontractors. We don't have to have our people involved at that level, and they'll just simply report back, and we'll just have weekly meetings with them. So I'm looking forward to the process. It certainly is going to be a lot of meetings and a lot of things that we've got to sort through as we just enter the design phase. Okay, so we have conceptual and we have some budget placeholders for each of the big ticket items that we've got. But now we got to get down to, okay, what does this look like? What does key fobs on the doors look like? What does the new roof at the high school in the portion that hasn't been done, what does that exactly look like? What does the foundation repair at the primary school look like? What are the auditorium upgrades that we need to have happen? What are the technical education upgrades that need to happen? And what does that really look like from a practical standpoint? So it's kind of the fun phase in some ways, but certainly a lot of work and certainly something we're looking forward to.
How do you prioritize, Steve? Which project you tackle first?
Yeah, we're going to leave that up to the folks that are experts on that. Nexus will certainly guide us. The general hope is this. We had already had the second half of phase two of the high school roof. Okay, we had broke it down into four phases, and we combined two and three into the second phase. And so we did the first phase a couple summers ago. We did part of the next phase last summer, with part of it being happening this summer. Okay, so that's going to happen. That's not even part of the referendum. We've got a portion of the roof that still needs to get done. Our hope is that we can piggyback the work that is already being done on the high school roof. And one of the very first things of the referendum would be to ideally complete that high school roofing project, okay? So that by the end of this summer, in a perfect world, our entire high school roof is complete. Again, many portions of that roof are original roofing, pushing 30 years old. Our other two buildings are in good shape. We've been able to take that out in prior years and get that fixed, but we've still got a couple of sections at the high school that need to get fixed. So that's probably what people will visibly see this summer is the planned remodel of the replacement of the roofs, and then in a perfect world, be able to complete that project. So when we have days like this, we don't have to worry about water infiltration into our classrooms. Then this summer, the bidding process and it will get finalized with a lot of the project happening next year in 2025, and then the final portion of it being completed in the summer of 2026. What that looks like from a timeline, again, we'll leave that up to the folks at Nexus. One of the initial timelines, it was very draft, was that we would work on the primary school and the high school projects in the summer of 2025, with the intermediate school being done in the summer of 2026. Obviously, that can be changed, but there certainly are some cost savings by keeping all of the equipment and the construction that's happening in one location, just from an ease in transferability of things.
Any chance that you'll be putting in a waiver to start school at a different time or anything like that?
Well, you know, I mentioned it to our school board that was something that we could consider this past March or April. It was not something that we were necessarily recommending to start for 24-25 because it was just our school calendars had been out. People had already started making plans for the summer, their vacation, things like that. So we didn't want to look at that, but we did want to let the board know that it was certainly an option that could happen. And so I would anticipate this summer and early fall that we will explore the idea of altering the start of the 25-26 school year, either pushing it back or moving it up so that we have a larger window in the summer of 26, all yet to be determined. Again, those are really going to be predicated on what kind of timelines they're looking at for the big construction projects that would interfere with the learning environment that's going on. If they can fit it into a traditional summer window, great. I don't know that we have to make any changes. If things are going to extend to 4 or 5 months as opposed to the traditional summer months, then we may have to look at that. So that's just something that we don't know yet at this point. It's certainly an option that the DPI gives us, but certainly not anything that we're ready to just say, yes, we're going to do at this point. That's not the goal.
We had a couple of your IT specialists on last year, and they were talking about a huge upgrade for this past school year, you know, and I know that went through. Plans for anything there to upgrade even more? Because I know it's kind of an ever-changing world with technology, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems like whenever you get a technology project done, it's already outdated. Yeah. You know, it moves so quickly, and you know, you just really have to try to do as much as you can with the finances that you have at the time that you're doing it to hopefully prepare for the future. Because if you just put a Band-Aid on technology, it's obsolete in such a short amount of time. But with that, you know, over the last couple of years, we were able to earmark some ESSER dollars that were given or offset through ESSER dollars to do some infrastructure upgrades in technology. Some of the visible things is, you know, the huddle implementation. I know that, in fact, you had worked with trying to implement some audio into the huddle, and we're hoping to have that fully bug-proof by the start of next school year. I know that there were some hiccups in terms of how that was going to look. Some Wi-Fi infrastructure in the gymnasium and down at the stadium and the field house, or excuse me, the baseball diamonds, things like that, as well as infrastructure throughout our district. And that's one of the things that this referendum is going to piggyback on, is really the internet infrastructure that's in place. We're working with a company called K-12 that Nexus got us in connection with to really do an infrastructure audit on how our IP switches are configured and how the different wiring is structured. And do we need to replace wiring? Do we need to replace hardware? Or is it something where an engineer is able to come in and just do through some settings on different switches and configurations, are we able to get significant improvement? And so we're actually going through that process right now as we try to improve our internet across the district. I know the primary school and the intermediate school in particular continue to have internet struggles that does impact learning, and we've got to really get that figured out. My understanding is that we've got several bottlenecks, that we've got pretty good internet flow coming into our buildings, but at different areas of the buildings, they get bottlenecked, and it just becomes, you know, it's a, you know, a four-lane traffic trying to merge into one lane due to construction, and you just know how much that bogs everything down. And so it doesn't matter how fast you can go on either end of the construction zone, you're still very slow during that area. And so we're trying to isolate those and figure out what's going on with those and try to improve our internet. I anticipate us having some drastically improved internet by the start of the 24-25 school year.
I know recently you had your choir concert. I heard they had to go on emergency power with the power outage Saturday night.
Yeah, so I was getting updates from Brian Jones, and they went on emergency power, but it sounded like our generators kicked in and everything performed as it should. And, you know, you don't really think about those things until you need them, and then you're fortunate that you have them, and we do have good infrastructure. One of the other components of the referendum is to make sure that we've got some power generator backup power at the other buildings. We have it at the high school building, but we don't necessarily have it at the other buildings. And so, again, this is one of those things where you might only need it once or twice a year, or you might go 3 years without using it at all. But boy, when you have it, you sure appreciate it when you do need it, because you think about the things that can go bad during a power outage, from, you know, food spoiling in coolers and freezers and vending machines to you know, emergency lighting and things like that. It's all super important for a school district or any organization to have, and we're appreciative of it. So my understanding is that the choir concert went out without a hitch, and other than the power outage, I should say, but that they performed exceptionally well.
So, that's what I heard. Yeah. I heard at least one number they had to sing kind of loud because there was some pretty heavy rain on the roof, you know.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah, it did come down pretty hard there at times.
Really
yeah.
hard at one yeah. point. Yeah.
Hopefully they don't have a concert today at 3 o'clock.
So. No, well, hope not anyway. So what about, you mentioned the charter school too, that building is good. Any improvements needed there, Steve?
Yeah, we're going to continue to evaluate that. We did a facility assessment of that building when we purchased it from the county, and for the most part it was in pretty good shape. There's some minor things, some doors and some windows that need to be looked at or maintained, but I believe that, and we thought this even when we bought it, that anything that needs to be upgraded there can probably be handled out of our maintenance and operations budget. We can't sustain three really, really large buildings out of a budget. That's why we have to go to referendum to get really, really big things fixed. But a smaller building, a 4,000 or 5,000 square foot building like East Hall, a lot of those things that do come up can be replaced out of the budget, whether it's a air conditioning or a heating unit. It's much more residential-like. Obviously, the components are commercial, but we're not talking a 120,000 square foot building like our high school is. We're talking a very small building, isolated building. So the anticipated goal is that while it's in pretty good shape right now, that we can handle anything that might come up out of our budget and not have to, go back to the taxpayers for that.
Since the last time you were here, too, the news came out that UW-Platteville was handing over the keys to the county. Any chance you're going to be able to use the gym? I know you did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we had an MOU in place with the campus and the county, and be able to use the gym. That continues to probably be our biggest space needs as we've consolidated buildings. While we're tight in some of the other buildings, we're certainly comfortable in the space that we have, but where we really do notice it is gym space. We added approximately 200 kids to our high school, and then you think about the extracurricular activities that they had. They used to have their own gym at the former middle school, but also PE classes and the things that are going on in our gymnasiums all the time. Having access to that campus gymnasium was extremely beneficial. My understanding is that as of July 1st, the county will be examining proposals for what to do with that. We're hoping at that time that the county will enter into an MOU with the school district again for us to be able to use that gymnasium and get it usage out of it. That soccer field next door, while it's some, or the field, I guess, not just soccer, but while the field is in a floodplain and can become problematic on days like today, it is good green space for our students to have, and the reality is just so close from a proximity standpoint. It's just a shame to not see it go to use in some fashion, and I'm hoping the school district can do it, and I'm very optimistic with the
Boscobel. Stop by soon and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary, tax extra.
Did you know Julie Karen State Farm is not just your insurance agency, but also a proud permanent drop-off site for the Richland Center Food Pantry? This month, the food drive is collecting cereal, and here's the best part. Julie Karen's will match any donations made. Let's team up, make a difference in our community, and drop off your donations at the office today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning. It is news time, sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed, Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. Well, the breezy and cooler conditions are welcome today. We're heading toward a high of 70 degrees with patches of sunshine today after a stormy night. More about that coming up. It is currently 57 degrees.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, Downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Multiple watches and warnings were posted last night for Wisconsin, and fortunately for us in the immediate area, we did not have the damage that some areas did. With storm predictions, especially in the third round of storms last night, that included the prediction of winds up to 70 miles per hour. Though many did experience those kind of winds and damage, tens of thousands of customers were without power in southern Wisconsin yet this morning after severe weather passed through last night. As of 6:15 this morning, over 27,000 MG&E customers were without power. Outages were spread throughout the provider's coverage area. MG&E said this is one of the largest outages it's experienced in its history. They said restoration is expected to take multiple days. Over 18,000 We Energy customers were without service as of 10:30 last night. That included 292 in Dane County, 906 in Dodge County, and 849 in Jefferson County. Also last night, Alliant Energy's outage map indicated over 3,400 customers were without service. That included over 1,700 customers in Sauk County. In Iowa County, 994 customers were without power, and another 208 customers were in the dark in Juneau County, again as of last night. Reports of storm damage and some large hail and some tree limbs that caused lots of damage in the Spring Green area last night. Various roads were closed or blocked across Madison and Fitchburg as a result of the severe storms. The city of Madison said it would take time for crews to address all the roads that are blocked in and around Madison this morning. Multiple people have died and at least a dozen were injured since a powerful tornado tore through a small Iowa town, carving a bleak landscape of destroyed homes and businesses, shredded trees, smashed cars, and widely strewn debris. The tornado destroyed much of the small Iowa town of Greenfield. Iowa State Patrol Sergeant Alex Dinkla says at least a dozen people were injured amid widespread devastation in Greenfield. Tuesday saw multiple tornadoes, giant hail, and heavy rain in several states. The storms and tornado warnings moved through the Midwest last night. The Richland School District will again provide summer meals to local children through 18 years of age. Families can register for free breakfast and lunch for their children via the form posted on the district's website. Meal pickups will be once per week on Thursdays from 11 until 4, except Wednesday, July 3rd, due to the holiday. To receive meals by the first distribution date, participants must pre-register for meals by Friday, May 31st. Children do not need to be Richland School District students, but must be district residents or open enrolled into the district. The district is also seeking volunteers to help pack and distribute meals. Volunteer registration can be found on the district website. The program is made possible through federal funding resources. A Monona man faces multiple charges after fleeing from police early yesterday morning. Police say a Dane County deputy tried to stop the 41-year-old man for speeding when he fled and eventually left the road on Highway 12 near Middleton. Drones were used to track him down, and he was caught by officers and taken to the hospital for evaluation. A search of his person found a pair of fake handguns. He's currently booked on sixth-time OWI, evading police, possessing burglary tools, and intent to deliver drugs. The man also has outstanding warrants for child support and probation violations. Milwaukee leaders are enthusiastic about the new Amtrak Borealis service. County Executive David Crowley says the new connection, which crosses Wisconsin between Chicago and the Twin Cities, is a good start, and he's open to discussions on further service upgrades. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson was on hand for the inaugural stop at the Milwaukee Airport Station. Johnson said he's also looking for even more connections. Borealis trains leave St. Paul at midday and Chicago at late morning. They'll make all of the existing stops on Amtrak's Empire Builder and Hiawatha routes. What about taking the train from Milwaukee to Green Bay for next year's NFL draft? Wisconsin Deputy Transportation Secretary Christina Boardman says that's being explored, at least for the short term. China bans a former Wisconsin congressman from entering the country. Mike Gallagher was a vocal critic of the Chinese communist government well before leaving Congress. Prior to the end of his term last month, the Green Bay Republican helped author legislation banning TikTok in the U.S., chaired the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, and was a strong supporter of Taiwan. The Journal Sentinel reported that the Chinese Foreign Ministry announced the sanctions on Tuesday. Gallagher, who's joined Green Bay-based venture capital firm Titletown Tech as an advisor, said the move showed the CCP is perpetually paranoid. Take a trip somewhere natural for Memorial Day. Wisconsin State Parks Recreation Chief Missy Van Landite says there are plenty of places to enjoy and discover across the state. Van Landite says some of her favorite spots in the Northwoods, like the Star Lake Trail, Lake Wissota in western Wisconsin, and Council Grounds State Park, but there are great parks all across Wisconsin. You can find a park and get your state parks pass online at dnr.wi.us or Go Wild app as well. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds the public to plan ahead this weekend by purchasing the 24 annual vehicle admission sticker and state trail passes online as well. And also, with the unofficial start to summer this weekend, Clean Lakes Alliance will kick off its 11th season of monitoring the Greater Madison Lakes. Starting Thursday, lake users will once again have more information about how to find the best spots when planning their visits. Water quality volunteer monitors will dip in, and they will also measure the clarity for the first time this season and upload their data to the free Lake Forest app.
Green grass, yellow dandelions, and pesty moles. Hello, spring. Ellie here at Chet's. We have all of your lawn care needs for this spring season. Lawn seeds, fertilizers, and even mole control. Our ongoing sunflower seed sale will surely keep your birds singing in this beautiful weather. Warm weather also means chick season, but we don't just have chickens. We have baby pheasants available as well. We'd like to give a special thank you to all of our friends at Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop down and see us at 880 North Orange Street, or give us a call at 647-8833 to place your pheasant order today.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 70 and patches of sunshine. West winds 15 to 25 may help it dry out just a little bit. For tonight, mostly clear, a low of 48. And Thursday, highs near 80, mostly sunny and summer-like again. Currently in Richland Center, we did receive a little bit of light rain this morning, 9/100ths early on today. That goes in the rain gauge. Along with yesterday, we had a total of 2.17 in the rain gauge, and also 1 inch and 8/100ths on Monday. So we're adding up that total to around 3 35/100ths of an inch since Monday. After a midnight reading of 66 here at the studios, we have cloudy skies and 57.
Reducing the risk of illness is easy with a visit to Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Center and Boscobel Pharmacy are your vaccination headquarters for the flu, pneumonia, and shingles. No appointment needed. The helpful staff will have you in and out in no time, often at no charge with qualifying insurance or Medicare. Don't wait. Get protected today at Center Pharmacy on Orange Street or Boscobel Pharmacy in downtown Boscobel. The Shingrix vaccine is in stock, proven to be 90% effective for the prevention of shingles.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. The WIAA softball tournament resumes today, and the Brewers picked up a nice win. Those stories and more in a moment.
Did you know that nearly 80% of strokes are preventable? You can reduce your likelihood of stroke by treating existing medical conditions like high blood pressure or diabetes, and by making lifestyle changes like quitting smoking or becoming more active. If you are curious about your risk factors, talk to your primary care provider at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. The Richland Hospital and Clinics, caring, educating, healing.
A look at sports today, beginning with the high school scene. It's WIAA Regional Golf today at Prairie du Chien. Tee time is at 9 o'clock this morning for Division II teams. That event was postponed from Monday until today. WIAA Girls Softball Tournament, lots of changes time-wise today after the games were moved from yesterday. Westby plays at Prairie du Chien at 2:30 today. Adams Friendship plays at 3:30 at Dodgeville. Lancaster will be taking on Westfield at 4:30 in Westfield today. We'll have coverage from the Viroqua and River Valley game. That one is still a 5 o'clock start time. Many schools have some conflicts later tonight. River Valley's is during the day today for testing, so that game stays at the same time. Other games in the area from Division 4, one game that was played earlier, Mineral Point was a 10-6 winner over Wisconsin Heights. They'll play the winner of today's Iowa Grant and Fenimore game. Riverdale and Boscobel play today in Boscobel. That's a 3:30 start time for that one. And also in Division 4, 5 that is, it's Ithaca taking on Lafarge, and that starts at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Softball in Ithaca at 3. Seneca at Wanewak Center at 4:45 today. Brookwood plays host to Kickapoo. That is a 4 o'clock start time, and DeSoto is at Hillsboro. Also, Royal is taking on Pepin Alma, and Highland battles today at 5 against Potosi Cassville. River Ridge is taking on Barneville this afternoon in a game that will start at 4 o'clock. A two-run triple in the eighth inning by Christian Yelich gave the Brewers all they needed for a 7-5 win in Miami. His blast to right center knocked in the tying and go-ahead runs. Also supplying offense, leading to victory, was catcher William Contreras, who drove in three of those runs. Tobias Myers got the pitching win after putting up a scoreless inning of work. Trevor Miguel with a total of save number 7 after last night's effort. The team is now even in the series. Manager Pat Murphy talked about the veteran Christian Yelich, who continues to lead the way.
You know, there's things that Yelich's done over the last 9 years. You know, I've seen him do a lot of things, but it never amazes me what he does, what he did last night and the play he made and coming off 30 days of being out and then doing what he's done since he's been back. He would tell you he's not even swinging the bat great, but yeah, he comes up big in every situation and he sets the tone.
The Brewers winners by a score of 7-5. The teams play the rubber game of the three-game set tonight. Freddy Peralta is set to start for the Brewers. It was Cincinnati over San Diego 2-0. Pittsburgh 7-6 over San Francisco. It was a win for the Cubs over Atlanta 4-3. Arizona 7-3 over the Dodgers. In the American League, Boston 5, Tampa Bay 2. The White Sox 5-0 over Toronto. Kansas City 10, Detroit 3. Seattle 6-3 over the Yankees. Houston 6 and the Angels 5. Cleveland 7-6 over the Mets. Minnesota 10-0 winners against Washington. Philadelphia beat Texas 5-2. Oakland 5-4 over Colorado. It was Boston winning against Indiana in the NBA playoffs. That was an overtime 133-128 victory. Former Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers chose to keep playing football when he had other options earlier this year. The 40-year-old athlete had a chance to run for vice president on an independent ticket with U.S. presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Onlookers say Rodgers looks like he has fully recovered from the Achilles injury that wiped out last season for him. The future Hall of Famer says he still has things to accomplish on the football field. And when the votes for the 24 NBA All-Defensive Team were counted, Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo did not get a vote. Rudy Gobert was chosen as Defensive Player of the Year, and also several Bucks received some votes, including Lopez with 8 votes. Milwaukee forward Bobby Portis got a vote, and he isn't known for
the
his
meals frozen?
Defensive prowess.
Some are frozen, some are refrigerated.
Wednesday morning sports.
There's a variety of different things from things
LS
that kids
tractors
can make
are great
on their
tractor
own,
at a great price. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store.
You know,
let an LS tractor
it,
do all those jobs that need to get done. They make tractors from...
Most of it is microwavable. The whole goal is to try to make it easy for families to be able to get their children fed. Most parents don't want their children, especially the younger children, you know, dealing with a stove. And so most of it is not needed to do there. There are some things that are frozen that you've got to sit out for the next day and be prepared a little bit. But certainly a lot of opportunities and a lot of good, valuable things in there.
tying that in with food, you recently had some students that made up their own dish, and they did quite well at a state level, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, you know, conducts a contest each year called Whipping Up Wellness, and students across the state, teams of three or four, are developing recipes, their own recipes that meet the school nutritional guidelines, okay? These are things that could be served in schools, okay, and meet all of the guidelines and qualifying meals and have the right balance of protein and sugars and fats and et cetera. And so we had a group of students that qualified, one of five finalists that qualified for the state competition in Madison last week. Will Bailing, Shanice Anderson, and Keegan Gein all participated on this team, and they won the state competition last Thursday at the Madison Area Technical College for this. They made a taco calzone served with a melon salsa recipe. And I know I wasn't in attendance, but I had heard that the DPI judges, or not DPI, but the judges, were just so excited. Most of the finalists that they've seen, and even some of the winners that they've seen over the last few years, much of their food was prepackaged, okay, or much of the food was prepackaged. These students made everything from scratch, the dough that they used for the crust of the calzone, and everything that they had was completely made from scratch. They actually served it to our student body and our staff at the high school the week prior, that they could get all the bugs worked out. And I heard it was delicious. I didn't get a chance to eat it, but I wish I did, because it sounds fantastic. So yeah, they won the state competition last week. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, that is just really awesome. I had not heard of that contest before, but to be number one in the state is pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And you know, that's a credit to those students that worked extremely hard, but also our consumer tech ed department, and Ashley Westerfeld kind of headed that up and got our students involved, and just another great opportunity for the Richland Center school students.
You recently had a plan sale. I think that concluded, but that went pretty well, didn't it?
Yeah. Speaking of CTE, Jenna Fetting heads up our FFA, and we had a huge plant sale right before Mother's Day. They had stored plants in the greenhouse, opened it up to the community, purchased flowers, and again, just a tremendous success. It was great for community to get a feel for what's going on in our schools. Anytime we get a chance to showcase that, that's wonderful. And again, students in our ag department just did a fantastic job with that, and look forward to doing that again in the future as well.
Champion Games, that was last week. I know you had some students take part in that.
Yeah, we had several students that took part in that. We ended up taking, so prior to that, I think Mrs. Tony, Nikki Tony, was one of the really key players. She's one of our special education department teachers at the high school, and she was one of the key players in really getting that organized and getting it developed. Of course, all of our spec ed staff and teachers and building admin and our special education director, everybody played such a great part in it. But Nikki came to the district office about Monday or Tuesday of the week prior to it, and she said, I don't know how we're going to get everybody there. And so we were able to get another bus. We actually got a third bus as well as several vans that we took down there. And so I believe we had about 120 students participating in the Champion Games down in Boscobel. And then we had another 20 or so high school students serving as chaperones for some of our younger students. So an incredible experience for both the younger students to get to, you know, have a great peer mentor in the high school student, and a great experience for our high school students as well, assisting and helping out down there. So I think we ended up pushing 150 adults and students that we had either participating or helping out in some fashion at the Champion Games in Boscobel for our special education students to get an opportunity to compete in some fashion or some level in some different track and field events. And I know we were worried about the weather earlier in the week. Friday turned out to be just an absolutely gorgeous day. I don't know that it could have been any better, and just a huge success. So congratulations again to all of the students that participated, but all of the people that helped make that possible for our community.
And the art show is going on this week, Steve.
Boy, I tell you, if the community has not been to an art show at the Richland Center High School, I encourage them to pop up there sometime this week, because this is always an incredible week as they start putting up samples and portfolios, different things that all of our students from the youngest ages of 4K, 5K, all the way up to our seniors is displayed in full force down our complete academic hallway, as well as the entire West Commons is filled with art, and it's everything from drawings to models and clay sculptures to three-dimensional to some really unique perspective art where they've taped different things on walls. And when you just look at it perpendicular to the wall as you traditionally would, it looks like nothing, right? It just looks like something that you can't make out. But when you stand in a specific spot at a specific height at a specific angle, it just all of a sudden just comes to life. And they've got just some really incredible art. Sometimes they'll do some chalk drawings outside as well. But this week is our art show. It's going on at the high school. It's open until 5 p.m. nightly, culminates on Friday afternoon. And again, there's no charge. I would encourage anyone from our community to pop up from 3:30 to 5 o'clock and view some of the fantastic pieces of art that we have at all age levels. You look at some things and you'll say that was done by a third grader, and it's just amazing. And then some of the stuff that our upperclassmen do is truly astonishing. We've had some tremendous success in our art programs and our fine arts, and that's no coincidence when you look at the leaders that we've got in those areas. They're very special to our district, and they get a lot of students involved in that. And then their passion and love is shown through their students' work. And so it truly is incredible.
We're wrapping up our conversation with Steve Ward from the Richland School District and getting down to some of those year-end things that we like to talk about. This year's senior group seems like a pretty good group.
Yeah, it's a great group, as most, you know, senior groups are. They're excited to move on to the next chapter in their life, but they've had what I hope to be a good experience in the Richland School District, and you know they're going to be earning a high school diploma here pretty soon. You know, I've said this before that you know your high school diploma, you know, it's one of the first things in a person's life that once you have it, it can never be taken away. Right? There are a lot of things in life that can be taken away. You know, your car can get taken away. You can even lose some of your rights as a U.S. citizen in some of these fashions. But regardless of what happens, whether you lose the piece of paper or you continue to have it forever, once you've earned your high school diploma, you've got it forever. And so it truly is a valuable piece to a person's future, and allows them to open up some doors that they maybe wouldn't have if they didn't have that diploma. So congratulations to all of the area seniors that are graduating from their respective schools, and don't take that lightly, because that diploma does really open up a lot of opportunities.
And your seniors will be making a special appearance in the community this year again, won't they?
Yeah, so they've got a couple of obligations. We've already talked about the scholarship night. The monetary will be tomorrow night, Wednesday, 6:30 in the auditorium. Our non-monetary awards for all of our students in grades 9 through 12 will be this Friday during the school day. That'll be in the morning. And then next week, on May 31st, our seniors will be doing the school and downtown march. They'll be going through and marching through all of the schools in celebratory fashion, as well as downtown. Likely be downtown around 10:30 on May 31st. And so that'll be next Friday. And then that'll all culminate with graduation ceremony on Sunday, June 2nd at 2 p.m. So we encourage folks to come out to that as well. And then at that point, you know, the folks will be able to celebrate. We encourage them to do that safely and responsibly. It is a great celebration, but we do want everyone to be safe and enjoy it and be able to relive those memories for a long time.
Enough seating for everybody that wants to come to graduation?
My understanding is that there's plenty of seating, and obviously families and graduates will have opportunities for tickets here, and they should be communicating with their high school administration and guidance counselors on that process and what that looks like. And we'll have our valedictorian, salutatorian, and folks from our students will be giving a speech during that time. But it's really a great experience and a great ceremony that we have for our seniors. And again, so June 2nd, a Sunday at 2 p.m.
And then you'll be preparing for the next year and, you know, sports through the summer. I think there are more contact days than there used to be, too, aren't there, for some sports?
Yeah, Laura Selgeby, our activities director, was just telling me that the WIA had kind of revamped or changed how the contact days are working. I haven't heard all the details regarding it, but I know she said the WIA told all 412 schools that they had been doing it wrong over the last few years, and so here are the new rules that are being implemented. So I'm sure there'll be some changes coming up with that, but you know, the world's changing in sports with the NIL and happening at the college level, and some talk that it's happening at the high school level in the near future to contact days. But in the end, these are adolescents that are enjoying a great opportunity to be involved not just in sports but in a lot of extracurricular activities, and we encourage them to do that and just continue to enjoy their time. It goes by so quickly, and I know that they may think it's a dragging out and it's kind of a burden to go to school, but it is really a wonderful opportunity, and the friends and the peers and the interactions that they get with some of our great staff is just great.
You think about, and I've said this before, how fast 12 years go by, or 13 or whatever in our lives now, but yeah, when you're in school, it seems like it's an eternity, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Well, it's such a large percentage of their life. As we get older, the 13 years is a smaller percentage, so maybe it's just less in terms of perspective, but yeah, it really does. It's I don't think that even they really appreciate when they're going through it what it really means, but I think when we get older, I think we do appreciate it, and I know I do anyway, so even if it did take me 15 or 16 years to get through.
You and I both. Another hot topic with the WIA is, you know, looking at making some changes for basketball, and you as a former coach too, and the shot clock has been hotly debated. Do you have any opinion on that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I first heard about the shot clock, and we're talking like 15 years ago, I wasn't a huge fan of it. I wasn't a fan of encouraging, you know, athletes to take poor shots just because the shot clock was running down. I wanted to allow coaches the opportunity to play whatever style they wanted. But that's was more my personal opinion. What I really look at now, is it good for basketball? And I think the answer is yes. I think it creates a better flow to the game. I think it allows the opportunity to play more kids. I think there's more strategy involved, especially at the end of games. As I watch, I had the opportunity to take my daughter up to Green Bay for the state tournament this last year, for the girls' state tournament. The end of the games and having to foul and, you know, how it drags out there, the shot clock eliminates a lot of that, because if you're down by, you know, 4 points with a minute left, you can afford to take a defensive stance, right, and see if you can get a stop and then go down and try to score without having to foul and drag it out. So I've kind of done a 180, and again, because I ask, is it good for basketball? And I think it is. So I think it's coming. I don't know when it'll come. My prediction right now is about in the 26-27 season, and I think it'll be exciting for the sport if it does come.
Yeah, the only downside is a little bit of cost to get that revamped, and then I understand another person to run it too.
That's probably the biggest deal, is finding a qualified person and training them. You know, it's hard to find workers to do these things anyway. You know, we're fortunate to have some standbys, you know, for running the clock and doing the scorebook, but now you've got to have a third person at the scorers table. And then, you know, truthfully, things that people don't even think about, just the space at the scorers table. You know, I know that some places have a hard time even getting a visiting book, you know, to be able to sit at the bench. So now you got to have an official book, a clock, a shot clock person, and still try to find space for a visiting book. But again, those are problems I think we can find solutions for. The cost has come down as more and more states across the country. In fact, it's a national federation rule now to have the shot clock. And so Wisconsin's one of the few states that haven't adopted it yet. But when you have more people buying it, you have costs that drives down. So the cost is a cost, but it is something that I think is much less than it was maybe a few years ago.
It's coming, I'm sure.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Steve, always good stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being here. Allowing me to be here.
No problem.
And I appreciate you being here too.
Congratulations on another good school year.
Thank you.
The district, you bet. Richland School District Administrator Steve Bohr joining us here on today's morning show.
Just wrapped up completely, and all the love you feel, and I-